This morning, our first scripture comes from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. The word of the Lord.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 3, and it starts in verse 16. Hold on, I just lost it. Let's just read it from up there. Awesome! Because I can't figure out where it starts. All right. Here we go, together. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the spirit that inspired this passage of scripture. May the same spirit work in our hearts this morning, calling us to run our race well. Amen. Well, lace up your sneakers, everyone, and strap on your star-spangled leotard, because the 2016 Olympics are here. Already, we have watched one of our own teenagers win the very first gold of the Olympics in air rifle. We have enjoyed a weekend full of wonderful sporting events, including a game of ping pong that looks nothing like what you and I played in youth group or college, right? Tonight, the Fab Five Remixed will take to the balance beam and the uneven bars, which I am very excited about. And in fact, I am excited about the Olympics in general. I love the Olympics. They have been on my calendar for the past 6 months. I love all of the events, from cycling and volleyball and soccer to synchronized swimming and gymnastics. I love them all. So it's no coincidence that your pastor has you bumping into the Apostle Paul this morning in Philippians 3, who is talking about running a race. But this race that Paul is talking about isn't like an 800 meter run, right? It's not like a street race. Paul is talking about the Christian life of faith. That life in Christ is like a race. So in Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about this, but Paul is a wordy guy. He uses lots of words. And so I really try to just focus on two of the verses this morning. And this is what he tells us. He says, see if I can get it right. He says, forgetting what is past and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize that is the heavenly calling in God in Christ Jesus. The heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, there we go. That's what it is. So this is a good verse for your family to learn. And this is a great verse for like the school year. And so I think we need to say this verse together because it's long, but it's so good. So I'm going to say a part of it, and then you're going to repeat after me. And you can watch my hand motions, because if you want to memorize a scripture passage, it's really helpful to put hand motions with it. Okay, so here we go. Repeat after me. Forgetting what is past, straining forward to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. Now hold a trophy in your hand for the prize, which is the heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. Go. Which is the heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. There you go. That's your verse for the month, and it's a great one. Now, some of you are thinking, I wonder if there are any other verses in the Bible about running a race. And your neighbors are thinking, yes, I think there are other verses in the Bible about running a race. So what about Hebrews 12, 1 to 2? Nancy read it. It's my favorite verse in the Bible. Here's the cool thing about Hebrews 12. That while Paul is writing Philippians over here in like 62 AD, the author of Hebrews is over here writing also about running a race around 62 AD. Now, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. It could have been a woman. Lots of scholars think it could have been a woman. I think it was probably a woman, but I could be wrong. But here's the thing, we don't know who wrote it. It's unattested, which might be a good reason that it was written by a woman, because they didn't put her name in. But anyway, somebody over here was writing at the same time someone over here was writing, and they were both writing, talking about writing a race. And this is what the author of Hebrews, they said. They said, since we've been surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off the weight and the sin that easily entangles and run with perseverance the race set before us, setting our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us run the race set before us. So the question is, how well are you running your race today? How is the race going? Are you throwing off the past like Paul tells us to do and straining forward towards the goal? Are you getting tired, or are you running with perseverance like the author of Hebrews tells us to run? Are you keeping your eyes on Jesus, asks the author of Hebrews, or are you getting distracted by all the stuff weighing you down? How well are you running your race this morning? And did you come in here today with a whole lot of spiritual and emotional baggage? Because a lot of us did. And some of us this morning, God bless us, we look like that poor person at the airport who's about to miss their plane, right? And they are running through the terminal with their one rollerboard carry-on, with their one personal item, with a shopping bag they don't know what to do with, and they're screaming, wait, don't shut the door, right? I mean, but we've been there. You guys have told me your stories. You've been there. I've been there. But sometimes we look like that. We are just stumbling over our baggage in life, and it is not pretty, right? And so what does Paul tell us to do? He says, let go of what is past. Paul says, let it go. Okay, Elsa, right, in Frozen. Elsa in Frozen, what does she say? She says, let it go. Turns out Elsa knows what she's talking about. You got to let it go, right, Abby, if you're going to run your race well. And Paul agrees with Elsa on that one. We got to let it go. So what do you got to let go of this morning? What big old piece of spiritual or emotional baggage did you bring in here? And what can you leave on this chancel for communion? What can you give to God? Is it like a decision that you made that you regret? Is it something that someone did to you that you just can't let go of? Is it something that someone said to you, maybe this week, maybe 50 years ago? What can you let go of this morning? What can you give to Jesus that you can run your race well and even better without it? Jesus says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the ultimate baggage handler. And like Southwest Airlines, baggage with Jesus flies for free, so you can give him a lot. This is the spiritual truth of the morning, that at the airport, you have to check your baggage before you can fly. At the airport, you have to check your baggage before you can fly. Don't be one of those people that brings it on the plane. It is ugly and people don't like it. Check your baggage today. That's your job during communion. And that's what Paul is talking to the Philippians about. He's not mad at them for all of the stuff they drag through life. He's just telling them that there is a better way. And so when he writes to the Christians at Philippi, he wants them to understand that, like, a life just dragged down by sin and worry and guilt and, oh, if only, and oh, I should have, like, that's not the Christian way. That as Christians, we should be living in freedom and great joy, and we're just excited about all the places that Jesus is at work in our lives and in the world. And Paul says, you can only do that when you're living your life in Christ and not living your life on the baggage cart. And so when Paul is writing to the Philippians, he's talking to two different groups of people. The first is the Christians in Philippi. A lot of them were Jewish. They used to be Jewish, and now they're Christians, so we call them Jewish Christians. So the challenge for the Jewish Christians was to really let their past go, because they grew up in a religion that was all about following the rules, right? And morality is important, but Paul is saying Christianity isn't about doing the right thing and following the rules. It's about this invitation to this abundant life in Christ. And if you think it's just about following the rules, you've got it wrong, says Paul. And then there's this other group in Philippi, and they're completely on the opposite side of the spectrum. They are really in love with a cultural trend of the day called hedonism. And hedonism was basically like, do whatever you want because you're living in all this freedom, so whatever I do, it doesn't matter. I can do anything. Dave Matthews kind of sums this up in one of his songs. He says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Dave was actually quoting 1 Corinthians, a book of the Bible, but he's right, right? So the hedonists, they just thought you could do whatever you want. And so Paul's like, whoa, 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 whoa. When I say you have freedom, I didn't mean that, because you still have a heavenly calling, right? In this verse, we talk about the heavenly calling. And so Christianity isn't about following rules. It's about living this life of abundant freedom in Christ. Because when we live in Christ, we realize that all this garbage has no power over us, including death has no power over us when we live into this freedom. But like, we can't go crazy because we still have a heavenly calling, right? And so it's not that Paul is a moderate, but he just wants to keep us in Christ, right? And so that's what he tells them about. So when it comes to people in our lives who are really great at living into this freedom and this abundant life where they know that nothing has any power over them, not even death, we can think about the great saints of the church. We could think about the great saints in our lives. We could even think about some Olympians. So kids, this morning on your way home in the car or over lunch, I want you to Google Jesse Owens, right? Because Jesse Owens rocked this one out. And talk about, who was Jesse Owens and what did he did? How did he let go of the past and the things people said about him to run his race well? I'm going to talk about another person, maybe not quite as spectacular as Jesse Owens. I'm going to talk about Eddie the Eagle. Okay, so in honor of the Olympics, Rocky and I watched the movie Eddie the Eagle this week. And it is PG-13, families. And this is a great movie. Okay, so Eddie the Eagle is this guy, 1988 Calgary Olympics. He was an unlikely Olympian. He's the only guy from Great Britain to go in Olympic ski jumping. What is Olympic ski jumping? It's 90 meters in the air. It's a jump, and you go down it, and then it shoots you off, right? And it's the people you see on TV that are like, wah, you know, and they're just like going through the air for a really long time. That's Olympic ski jumping, okay? So what do we learn from Eddie the Eagle? We learn that you've got to let go to fly high and far. You've got to let go. It's like key to your success at Olympic ski jumping. And what we learn in the story is that Eddie the Eagle was like a normal kid, but he was a little weird like me, a little different. Eddie always wanted to be in the Olympics. So in the beginning, we see him like trying out every Olympic possibility in his backyard. It's hilarious. But throughout his life, people say, can't do that, Eddie. Never going to make the Olympics. You're not that good at anything. You're terrible. Do something with your life that's normal, like your dad. Don't be an Olympian. Don't shoot so high. You'll never be able to do it. And so Eddie has to let go of all of the stuff that people said to him in his life if he was going to rock it out at the Olympics. That was just the truth of it. And we see it. He's at the top of the ski jump, and he's got to let, he hears the voices of all the people telling him he's not good enough, and he's got to let it go. Now, Eddie's coach has a different problem. He has to let go not of what people have said to him, but the stuff he's done. Eddie's coach was he was an amazing Olympic ski jumper, and he made bad decisions in life, and he was no longer an amazing Olympic ski jumper, and he had to let it go. He had to let go of his mistakes in order to really fly and teach someone how to fly. And so what do we learn from Eddie the Eagle? We learn that if you're going to be amazing in this life, if you're going to rock it out at your holy calling, you've got to let it go so you can fly higher and farther than ever before. Each one of us has a high and holy calling. Each one of us has a race to run. No matter your age, Ed is still here running his race well. Take it from Ed. Keep running. You all have goals to achieve for Jesus. You all have things that the Lord needs you to do. Someone in your life this week needs you to run your race well. Someone in your life this year needs you to run your race well. And we do it when we run it in Christ and through Christ and with Christ. What does Isaiah tell us? That those who live into Christ, who live into the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, they will soar on wings like Eddie, the eagle, right? They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and not grow faint. You have a race to run. You have a high calling and a heavenly purpose in this life, and we need you to run it well. And the world needs Christians to run it well right now, today. And so, don't give up, let go, and press on. You've got a race still to run. Let us pray. Lord, we all came in here today with something that is tripping us up. It's distracting us. It's scaring us nearly to death. And it's keeping us from running our race well. This morning, as we gather around the table, help us take a few things off our baggage cart this morning. Take them unto you. And every time we try to take them back this week, take them again. Lord, help us run as lighter people, as more lively people, because we are living with trust in you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. This morning, as we gather around this table, we proclaim that the Lord's table is everyone's table. Everyone's invited here. We will partake by intinction, which means you're invited to come forward down the center aisle. A server will hand you a piece of bread. You can dip it in the cup and then return to your seats by the outer aisle. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Please join me in the prayer of great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with the heavenly choirs and with the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna.
To you, Lord Jesus, dying, you destroyed our death, rising, you destroyed our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Let us pray. Holy and loving God,